بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين سيدنا ونبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين. أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. ألا بذكر الله تطمئن القلوب. صدق الله العظيم. Respected brothers and elders, every single person in this world wants the same thing. Everyone desires to be happy. Everybody wants contentment of heart and peace of mind. These are two things that any corner of the world that you go to, in the east or the west, every single man, woman, and child, they desire to have peace of mind and contentment of heart. You ask anybody in the world, do you want to have pereshani? Do you want to have worries? Do you want to have trouble in your life? Do you want to be depressed? Do you want to have stress? There's no one that's going to tell you that I'm volunteer, I want to have this, and I want to suffer in this world. Everybody wants happiness. Everybody wants contentment. But the way that people try to acquire this contentment and the way that people try to attain this peace of mind and this happiness in their heart, they are of different levels. Every single person is trying to attain this according to their own mentality. A person who is stealing, he's a thief. He goes and he robs a bank. Why does a person rob a bank? Why does he commit that crime? If you look at his intention deep down in his heart, he is trying to fulfill that contentment of heart and that peace of mind. But he is doing it according to his understanding, that if I rob this bank, if I steal this money, and if I try to get this property in any way and by any means necessary, I will attain contentment of heart and peace of mind through this. Another person is killing someone, murdering someone. Why is he doing it? If you look at his intention, his final intention will be in his heart that there is some contentment, there is some peace of mind, there is some sukoon which that person is trying to attain through that action. So whatever sin that you see in this world that is being committed, whether it may be zina or whether it may be drugs or alcohol or whatever sins that the society is involved in, you can see behind that all the intention is one. And the aim is one, and the objective is one. And what is that? The attainment of itminan and sukoon. The attainment of contentment of heart and peace of mind. But respected brothers and elders, everyone is trying to attain this according to their own understanding. And what they are doing, this is the thing which is causing the corruption in this world. And this is the thing which is causing the fitna and fasad and the problems that we see in this world. This is what it is causing. Because everybody is trying to attain this contentment of heart and peace of mind according to their understanding. And our understanding and our aql and our intellect is nothing but deficient. So when we try to attain something through the means of something which is deficient, then that thing which is going to be attained is also going to be deficient. When you try to attain something by means of something which is deficient, then the final destination and the goal and the objective and the attainment is also going to be deficient. To give you an example, Mawlana Jalaluddin Rumi rahmatullahi alayhi in the Mathnawi, he mentions a story. And he says that there are three people traveling. And one was a Rumi, one was a Farsi, and one was an Arab. So this Rumi, this Farsi, and this Arab, they're traveling. They're going on a journey. And they don't know each other's language. The Farsi doesn't know the Rumi's language, and the Rumi doesn't know the Farsi and the Arab language. So by ishara and by sign language, they're trying to communicate with each other. So what they tell each other, they said, we have this much money. They gathered their money together. And they said, whatever we have any necessity, we just use this. They were able to explain that much to each other. They put the money together. They said, when we need anything, we will buy. So they're going on their journey. And on the journey, they got hungry. The Rumi, the Pharisee, and the Arab, they're going on this journey. On the journey, they become hungry. And when they became hungry, they said, we buy something. So they came together, and the Rumi said that, you know, what should we get? The Rumi said, I want ustafil. So the Arab and the Farsi are saying, what is this ustafil? Feel kya kon kaega? You know, hati ko kon kaega? Feel in Farsi means elephant. So the Farsi person is hearing feel. He's saying, what are you doing? How are we going to buy feel with this? He said, no, I'm saying ustafil. I want ustafil. So he doesn't know what he's saying. And they're arguing. Arab is saying, no, uridul inab. The Arab is saying, uridul inab. I want inab. And the one who is Farsi, he's saying, ma angur me khuram. I want angur. So one is saying that I want ustafil. The Farsi is saying, I want angur. And the Arab is saying that I want inab. All of them start arguing, and they're starting to become, you know, almost getting into a fist fight, and they're getting in the middle of a brawl. In the middle of the desert, they're getting into a brawl, and they're about to beat each other up. And what each of them don't know, that every one of them, they want the same thing. Ustafil means grapes in Roman language. Angur is grapes in Farsi language. And Inab is grapes in Arabic language. And they all want the same thing, but they're beating each other up and they're fighting. They said, no, I'm never going to let you use my money for this. What is this Inab, and what's this Ustafil, and what's this Angur? What are you talking about? So while they're in this argument and they're fist fighting and they're about to break each other's heads open, then there's the one traveler that goes by and he sees these people arguing. And he says, whoa, hold on. What's going on here, guys? Calm down. What's happening? Don't beat each other up. What's going on? Maybe I can help you. He said, you can't help us. I don't know what this person is doing. He's going to take my money. He's going to buy some elephant. I don't know what he's going to do with my money. And they're arguing. And he said, okay, let me hear what's your story about. And this traveler who came, he is a very wise man. He has traveled all of the cities and he knows all of the languages. He has traveled all the cities and he knows all of the languages. So he asked him, he said, what's the problem here? What's going on? He said, you see, we have this money. We put it together. We're hungry. We want to buy something. And this person is saying that he wants inab. I don't know what is this inab. And this person is saying ustafil. And this person, angur. So the man, he is listening to them and he starts laughing to himself. So he says, okay, now I'm going to decide your matter. I'm going to finalize this whole situation. Do you mind if I become an arbitrator amongst you and decide your issue? He said, of course, we don't mind. He said, what if I give you something that everybody's happy with? They don't even know. He said, what if I give you something that all of you are going to be happy with? They said, we would love that. He said, then give me your money and I'll give you something that everybody will be pleased with. So they said, why not? So they gave him their money and he went into his belongings and he took out some grapes from Syria. He took out some grapes and the man from Rome, he said, this is ustafil. And the Arab said that hadha huwa al-inab. And the person from Faris, he said, hamin angurast. Hamin angurast. And all of them were happy. And then Mu'ajjaluddin Rumi rahmatullahi alayhi, in the end, he said, this is not the purpose of the story. The moral of this story is, just like these people, they were traveling together in the journey. We are also traveling in this world, and every single person in this world, they all want the same thing. Everybody wants the same thing. Everybody has the same destination, and the same chahat, and the same desires. But everybody is trying to understand it according to their mentality. And because everyone is trying to understand this success, and happiness, and contentment of heart, and peace of mind, they are trying to get it according to their own mentality, we are fighting each other. We are causing corruption. We are hurting each other. We are putting each other through suffering. Fitna and fasad is being caused in this world. Why? Because we are trying to attain that according to our own intellect. And then he says, if we were to submit ourselves to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who is the most wise, he is ahkamul hakimin. And if we were to submit ourselves to the Sharia of Muhammad, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then he would give us such a thing that every one of us would be pleased with. And what is that? And then he mentions the ayat, أَلَا بِذِكْرِ اللَّهِ تَطْمَئِنُّ الْقُلُوبِ. He says, أَلَا بِذِكْرِ اللَّهِ تَطْمَئِنُّ الْقُلُوبِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran mentions that I will tell you something, that by that you will attain the contentment of heart and peace of mind. What is that? أَلَا بِذِكْرِ اللَّهِ تَطْمَئِنُّ الْقُلُوبِ. Allah ta'ala says, أَلَا غَوْرْ سِي سُنُّو. Hazrat Maulana Shah Abdul Ghani Phulpuri rahmatullah alayh, our Shaykh used to say, he says, غَفْلَتْ كِي رُوِي كَانْ سِي نِكَالُو اور غور سے سنو. Ala, ala is harf tanbih in Arabic language. Yani غفلت کی روئی کان سے نکالو اور غور سے سنو. بذکر اللہ تطمئن القلوب. Only with the dhikr of Allah will the hearts attain contentment. There is no other way that we will get contentment of heart and peace of mind except through the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There is no money in this world, and there is no wealth in this world, and there are no children of this world that can give us contentment of heart and peace of mind. Hazrat Mufti Shafi rahmatullah alayhi, he said that the AC can cool your skin. When you turn on the AC, when it is very, very extremely hot, the AC can cool your skin, but it cannot cool the warmth of your heart. When your heart has become heated up with the sins, and your heart is heated up with stress and worry, then the AC cannot cool your heart. What is the air conditioning of the heart? What is the conditioning of the heart? This is only in the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ala bi dhikri Allahi tatma'innul qulub. This is mubtada mu'akhkharin khabari muqaddam. It's supposed to be ala tatma'innul qulub bi dhikri Allah. But Allah ta'ala made the khabar muqaddam. Ala bi dhikri Allahi tatma'innul qulub. What is the faida in this? Tufidul hasr. That only in the dhikr of Allah. Only in the dhikr of Allah. My Shaykh said if somebody were to translate this, that in the remembrance of Allah, do the hearts find contentment. He said this is an incorrect translation. You have to translate it like this. Ala bi dhikri Allahi tatma'innul qulub. That only in the dhikr of Allah, and only in the remembrance of Allah, will a person get the contentment of heart. There is no other way. Who is saying this? The creator of the heart. The creator of insan is saying that I am the one that created you, and I am the one that knows what is the thing that's going to give you peace of mind and contentment of heart. Nobody else and nothing else can give you this. You cannot understand this according to your own mentality. And when a person has made, for example, the Toyota manufacturer, they've created and they've invented the Toyota vehicle. They are the ones that know how is this vehicle going to function properly. What is the type of gas, and what is the proper type of engine, and what are the type of things that this car needs to function properly? Nobody else can tell you. The Toyota manufacturer is the one that's going to tell you what is going to make this car and this vehicle function properly. Similarly, nobody can tell us how this human being is going to function properly, because they have not created us. Only our creator and only our Khaliq and our Malik can tell us how we can function properly. And our Khaliq and Malik has told us in the Quran, كَأَلَا بِذِكْرِ اللَّهِ تَطْمَئِنُّ الْقُلُوبِ. Only with the dhikr of Allah will you function properly. Only with the dhikr of Allah will your heart find contentment. Only with the dhikr of Allah will you have this peaceful life. There is no other way. Some person might ask, that I am making the dhikr of Allah, I am praying 5 times a day, I'm doing everything that I need to do in the Shariat. Why is it that I don't have contentment of heart and peace of mind? Why is it that I don't have sukoon? Why is it that I don't have chain? I'm saying, Ya Allah, Subhanallah, Alhamdulillah, Wa la ilaha illallah, Wallahu Akbar. I'm reading this. Why isn't it that I have not attained contentment of heart and peace of mind? What is the reason? So our mashayikh say, is because zikr of Allah is of two types. The zikr of Allah is two types. We might be doing one dhikr, but we're not doing the other dhikr. One dhikr is dhikr musbat, and the other dhikr is dhikr manfi. Many people know about dhikr musbat. Many of us know about dhikr musbat. What is dhikr musbat? Dhikr musbat is doing. Making the dhikr of Allah. Doing the optional and nafli sadaqah, and nafli roza, and nafli namaz. This is zikr musbat. To do to do. But we don't know, many people do not know about that dhikr, which is dhikr manfi. What is dhikr manfi? Dhikr manfi is negative dhikr. What is the meaning of positive negative dhikr? We're not talking about being be positive or be negative. This is not that positive negative in attitude. We're talking about positive negative, plus minus. Positive negative, like positive wire and negative wire. The same way that in a light bulb, or in a light, or in a bulb, you have a positive wire and you have a negative wire. If the positive and negative wire, both of them, you don't have, then the light will not come inside of the bulb. The energy will not be transferred properly when you don't have the positive and the negative. Similarly, a person says that I don't have peace of mind and contentment of heart. I don't feel chain in my life. I don't feel sukoon in my life. I am making dhikr. I read subhanallah walhamdulillah. I am 5 times namazi. I went for umrah. I went for hajj. But why is it that I don't feel that chain? I don't feel that sukoon. I don't feel that light in my heart. I don't feel that enjoyment in my heart. I don't have that itminan. It's just because the dhikr is not complete. The dhikr is not complete. You have the plus wire. You don't have the minus wire. The plus is what? The doing the righteous deeds. Everybody knows that dhikr is righteous deeds. To take a tasbih and say subhanallah, subhanallah, subhanallah. But what is the negative dhikr? This is that dhikr that many people are ghafil about. This is that dhikr that many people are unmindful about. This is that remembrance of Allah that many people do not know about. And what is that? That is abstaining away from sins. Many people do not know that when I'm driving on the road and a beautiful woman is walking by, or some woman is jogging half naked, for me to guard my eyes at that time and not look at that woman, this is dhikr manfi. This is the remembrance of Allah at that time. When I'm getting into an argument with my father is telling me to do something. At that time, for me to swallow my anger, this is dhikr manfi. For me to swallow my anger and not talk back to my father, not talk back to my mother. There's a lot of youth here. MashaAllah, studying Quran and making dhikr and praying namaz. But understand that when your mother and father is displeased with you, then any amal that you do and any dhikr that you make, it will not be beneficial. It will not benefit you as long as your mother and father are displeased with you. This dhikr manfi, our tawajjuh does not go to this is dhikr. We are not thinking that this is the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And in actuality, this is the greatest dhikr. This is actually the greatest dhikr of Allah. To remember Allah at the time of committing sins and hold yourself back. Who said this? This has been mentioned to an advice to Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu. This hadith has been mentioned in Mishkat Sharif. Rasulullah ﷺ mentioned, narrated by Abu Hurairah, اتَّقِ الْمَحَارِمْ تَكُنْ أَعْبَدَ النَّاسِ. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam said to Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu that اتَّقِ الْمَحَارِمْ تَكُنْ أَعْبَدَ النَّاسِ. That, O Abu Hurairah, stay away from sins and you will be the greatest ibadat guzar. You will be the greatest ibadat guzar. You will be the greatest worshipper. The greatest worshipper is the which one? Not the one who prays tahajjud all night. And not the one who is making dhikr all day in the masjid and praying nafli ibadat only. We're not demeaning the ajr and the greatness of these actions. وَمَا يَتَقَرَّبُ إِلَيَّ عَبْدِي بِشَيْءٍ أَحَبَّ إِلَيَّ مِمَّ افْتَرَضْتُ عَلَيْهِ وَلَا يَزَالُ عَبْدِي يَتَقَرَّبُ إِلَيَّ بِالنَّوَافِلِ حَتَّى أُحِبَّهُ. Allah Ta'ala mentions that the one who does nafl becomes mahbub to me. The one who prays nafl and the one who does nafli ibadat, he becomes mahbub to me. We are not demeaning and we're not making insignificant the greatness of nafli ibadat. But we are trying to bring to your attention what is the way to preserve our ibadat. What is the way to preserve our nafli ibadat? And the preservation of our amal is guarding ourselves from sins. The preservation of our amal is guarding ourselves from sins. A lot of amal we are gathering, but the noor of that ibadat is going away. Jalaluddin Rumi rahmatullahi gives a beautiful example. Misalo ka badshah the, Maulana Rumi rahmatullahi. Maulana Rumi rahmatullahi gives an example. He says, in the countryside, the farmer, he grows the crop of wheat. And what does he do? He, you know, reaps his, you know, his wheat, and he takes the wheat and he puts it inside of the barn in a storage house. So he's taking all of the wheat crop, working all day, toiling very hard the entire day, and taking all of the wheat and putting it inside of the barn in the storage house. But the storage, it has holes on the bottom. He did not make koshish and he did not make effort in covering up the holes of the barn. So as all the wheat, he was working all day, tiring, his hand is, you know, filled with calluses and his hand is filled with working hard, and you know, he has all these bruises from working all day and getting all of the wheat inside of the barn. But he didn't make any effort in covering the holes. So what happens? He has all of this wheat inside of the storage house. In the morning he comes, he sees that all of the wheat is gone. No wheat left. What happened in the night? He said, in the night, the rat and the mouse, it burrowed under the barn inside of the hole. He did not cover the holes. He went inside and under the barn. He went through the hole. He took all of the wheat and he went back and completely left the farmer with nothing. After some time, when he came to see all of his koshish, to see all of his effort, to see all of the grain that he had gathered together, he came and saw that there was nothing there. Similarly, Ma'arumi rahmatullahi says, he says, أَوَّلَيْجَانْ دَفْعِ شَرِّ مُوشْكُنْ أَوَّلَيْجَانْ دَفْعِ شَرِّ مُوشْكُنْ بَعْدَزَانْ أَمْبَارِ غَنْدُمْ كُوشْكُنْ أَوَّلَيْجَانْ دَفْعِ شَرِّ مُوشْكُنْ بَعْدَزَانْ أَمْبَارِ غَنْدُمْ كُوشْكُنْ. He says that, oh my beloved, first you should do what? دَفْعِ شَرِّ مُوش. You should guard yourself from the harm and the loss of the rat. Save yourself from the burrowing of the rat that he's going to come and take away your mal. That's why there's a usul of fiqh. What did they say? دَفْعُ الْمَضَرَّةِ أَوْلَى مِنْ جَلْبِ الْمَنْفَعَ دَفْعُ الْمَضَرَّةِ أَوْلَى مِنْ جَلْبِ الْمَنْفَعَ. To guard yourself from loss is more important than gaining of benefit. If I have $1 million, but I know as soon as I'm going to walk out, somebody's going to take it away from me, what's the use? That $1 million is actually negative $1 million. That plus $1 million is actually negative $1 million. Why? Because I have not thought about how to preserve that money. Preservation of our amal is more important than the amal itself. If a person does little amal, but he preserves the little amal that he has, that will benefit him. But if a person has mountains of deeds, like we read in the hadith last night, narrated by Thawban radiallahu anhu, that there will be people on the day of judgment, they will come with mountains of deeds. فَيَجْعَلُهَا اللَّهُ حَبَاءً مَنْثُورًا. Allah will make those deeds become nothing. Because he did not work on the preservation of those amal. How do we preserve our amal? By guarding ourselves from sins. Especially the youth. Especially in our one very important message that I wanted to give today, I want to convey this message that our mu'amalat with our parents is very, very bad. That whenever our father or our mother says something, oof, why are you telling me? You're always telling me this. You're always telling me to clean my room. Why you say like that to me? This is our attitude with our mothers and fathers. But brothers and sisters, this is something which is very dangerous. وَلَا تَقُلْ لَهُمَا أُفٍ وَلَا تَنْهَرْهُمَا. Allah Ta'ala mentioned in the Quran, do not even say uff to them. Do not rebuke them. Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala, nowhere in the Quran, وَقَضَى رَبُّكَ أَلَّا تَعْبُدُوا إِلَّا إِيَّاهُ وَبِالْوَالِدَيْنِ إِحْسَانًا. This zikri manfi, this is a zikr of Allah. Nobody considers that I should guard my tongue in front of my mother, and I should guard myself in front of my father, and I should not show an attitude to my parents. Nobody considers this zikr of Allah. This is the greatest zikr of Allah Ta'ala. To guard yourself, because this is the biggest sin. Allah Ta'ala in nowhere of the Quran, after mentioning obedience to Him and Rasul, has mentioned anything else but the obedience of mother and father. وَقَضَى رَبُّكَ أَلَّا تَعْبُدُوا إِلَّا إِيَّاهُ وَبِالْوَالِدَيْنِ إِحْسَانًا. Allahu Akbar. Allah Ta'ala mentions that your Allah has written and your Allah has decreed. وَقَضَى رَبُّكَ. Your Lord has decreed. أَلَّا تَعْبُدُوا إِلَّا إِيَّاهُ. That you should not worship any other Lord besides Him. وَبِالْوَالِدَيْنِ إِحْسَانًا. And you should do good to your parents. After the zikr of Tawheed, after the oneness of Allah, after mentioning that you should only worship Allah, what does Allah make dhikr of? Allah says that you should do good to your parents. Imam Zahabi rahmatullah alayh, in Kitab al-Kaba'ir, he mentioned the story of Alqama. One Sahabi, Alqama, he was passing away and he was trying to say kalima. He could not utter the kalima. The people started to become worried. He said, what is happening? Why is he becoming mahroom? Why is he not able to utter the kalima? They were trying and they were telling him, "Oh Alqama, say the kalima. Oh Alqama, die with husni khatima." They were giving him talqeen to say the kalima. He just could not say it. He said, "Ask me to say anything, but I can't say what you are saying. I can't say the kalima. This, what you are saying, I cannot say. Ask me to say anything else. I cannot say this." So they went to Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam and they approached him. They said, "Ya Rasulullah, this is the predicament that we are in. Alqama is a very dangerous situation. Come and see what is happening." He came. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam came in the situation. He started asking some questions. He found out that Alqama's mother was displeased with him. He found out that Alqama's mother was displeased with Alqama. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam with some companions quickly went to the house of Alqama and knocked on the door. He said, "Oh my mother, I have heard that this is, you know that your son is passing away. You know what is happening? You know the situation?" He said, "Yes, I know." He said, "You know that he is not able to utter the kalima? I'm displeased with him. I will never forgive him." He said, "Why is that?" He said, I got into an argument and he gave preference to his wife over me. Is this the type of son that I brought into this world, that he should reject his mother and he should prefer his son?" And respected brothers and elders, this is one of the signs of the Day of Judgment, that a man will prefer his mother, he will prefer his wife over his mother. A man will prefer his wife over his own mother. I have seen with my own eyes, respected brothers and elders, I have seen with my own eyes that when the wife said, "I don't want your mother to be in our home," without any questions asked, he took his mother and put her in a nursing home. There has never been the concept of nursing home in the Islamic tradition. Never ever in the Islamic tradition, there has not been even a thought of nursing home. What is the reason? Why? Because the Muslim, they consider it their izaz. They consider their izzat and iftikhar to look after their parents when their parents become old. This is why. They consider it the greatest ibadat. They consider it the greatest khidmat. They consider it the door to Jannah, that I should look after my mother and father when my mother and father become old. Nowadays, "Oh, what can I do? I don't have time. I can write you a check. I can write you a check, but I can't look after you. Ask me anything, but I cannot look after you." Every young man and woman that is in this gathering, understand that when Allah Ta'ala brings you to that age, this is an opportunity for you, your mother and father, whose beard has become white, whose head has become white, who has reached that age of seniority. This is the opportunity for you to attain Jannatul Firdaus. Hadith of Mustadrak Hakim, Rasulullah ﷺ mentioned that go and seek Jannat under the feet of your mother. Go and seek Jannat under the foot of your mother, because Jannat is there. And what are we thinking? We're praying tahajjud namaz and our mother is displeased with us. And we're doing all of his nafli, zikr and ibadat and our mother is displeased with us. The mother needs dawai. The mother needs medicine. Your father needs somebody to look after him, to bring him water. And what are you doing? MashaAllah, he's in arsh. He's there, sitting there. Sufi sahab muraqaba kar rahe hai. Sufi sahab masjid mein muraqaba kar rahe hai. Aur walid sahab ki khidmat mein nahi hai. Walida ki dawai ki zarurat hai. And MashaAllah, Sufi sahab is sitting in the masjid in muraqaba. This muraqaba is never going to be accepted in the court of Allah Ta'ala. This zikr is not going to be accepted by Allah Ta'ala when he needs to be there looking after his mother and father. So Alqama radiallahu anhu, he is on his deathbed. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam went there, said, "I will never forgive him. He has chosen his wife over me." So Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, "You're not going to forgive him?" He said, "No." He said, "Then we have no other choice. We're going to burn him." He said, "Go gather some wood. We're going to put it there and we're going to burn him alive." "No, no, no, no. What are you doing?" The love of the mother. Even though she is angry, then look at the love of the mother. However much we displease our parents and however much we put them through so much difficulty, but the mother is the mother, the father is the father. They will always show their love to us. They always have concern for us. We think, this is the stupidity that we have, that we think that our mothers and our fathers, they are enemies. How can a mother and father be enemy to anyone? They want the best for you. That is why they tell you what they tell you. Never ever think that your mother and father want bad for you. "Why are you telling me not to go with those friends?" We get angry, right? Because our parents tell us, "Don't go and don't hang out with those friends. Why are you telling me?" And you get angry. No, don't become angry. Understand that why would a parent hold back from you what is beneficial for you? A parent will never do that. Brothers and sisters, I never understood the goodness that my mother did to me until I became a father. Until I became a parent. Until I had children of my own, then I understood what my mother did for me. And what my people that raised me, what they did for me. So don't judge them. Understand that they want khair for you. So the mother, her heart came out and said, no, 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 I don't want you to do that. How can you burn him? He said, but we have to. We have no choice. We either burn him in this life, because the burning of this life is nothing according in comparison to what he is going to face in the hereafter with the fire that is facing him if you're displeased with him. The fire of this world is nothing in comparison to the fire of the hereafter, what he is going to face. So it's better that we burn him now. She said, no, no, no. Ya Rasulullah, for your sake, for his sake, I forgive him. I forgive him. And they went back. As soon as the mother of Alqama radiallahu anhu said that I forgave him, he said, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa ashhadu anna Muhammadan abduhu wa rasuluhu. And he died with kalima. As soon as his mother forgave him. Look at the example that the person is sahabi of Rasul. He has the suhbat of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam, but that suhbat has not even benefited him. Because his mother is displeased with him. None of our ibadat will benefit us if our parents are displeased with us. In any way, shape or form, brothers and sisters, we should try to the best of our ability to always keep our parents pleased with us. It has been mentioned about Hassan Basri rahmatullah alayhi. وَلَا تَقُلْ لَهُمَا أُفٍّ. When he heard this ayat and when he read this ayat, he said he used to speak to his mother in such a way that people used to think that he is sick. He used to speak in a very soft voice. Nobody could hear his sound. So people, when they used to hear Hassan Basri speaking in front of his mother, they used to think that maybe he's sick. Maybe he has some problem. Maybe he has a fever, or he's so weak, he's not able to speak. So they asked him, oh Hassan Basri, what is the reason? Why are you speaking like this? He said, because Allah Ta'ala said in the Quran, وَلَا تَقُلْ لَهُمَا أُفٍّ. Don't cause any taklif to them. I don't want to speak in a loud voice to my mother in such a way that her heart will get any taklif. To raise my voice. Now it's a very easy thing. Why is my underwear not clean? Where's my underwear? Where's my breakfast? Make me food. Make me this. We come home, no salam, no nothing. We come inside and immediately say, where? Like, this is your khadim? Your mother is your servant, or you're your mother's servant? Your father is your khadim, or you're your father's khadim? It's opposite now. This is very, very, this is a sad state if the Muslim ummah is in this state. One of the signs of the Day of Judgment. أَنْتَلِدَ الْأَمَةُ رَبَّتَهَا. Nabi Kareem ﷺ told Jibreel. Jibreel ﷺ asked him, O Muhammad ﷺ, when is the Day of Judgment? He said, مَنْ مَسْؤُولُ عَنْهَا بِأَعْلَمْ مِنَ السَّائِلِ. He said, the one who is questioning, the one who is being questioned does not know more than the questioner. He said, فَمَا أَمَارَاتُهَا. What are the signs of the Day of Judgment? He said, sign number one, أَنْتَلِدَ الْأَمَةُ رَبَّتَهَا. That the slave should give birth to her master. The slave will give birth to her master. The ulama-i kiram, some of the ulama have interpreted this hadith in a way that the children will treat their parents like slaves. وَلَأَيَاذُ بِاللَّهِ مِنْ ذَلِكَ. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala save us from becoming the alamat of the Day of Judgment. May Allah save us from becoming the sign of the Day of Judgment that we treat our parents like our slaves. Rather, we are the slaves of our parents. We are the slaves of our parents. And brothers and sisters, treatment of parents doesn't have anything to do with Islam or ghayr Islam. Certain people have non-Muslim parents. Their khidmat and their respect and being dutiful to them and being responsible to them is just as it is for a Muslim parent. There is no Muslim and non-Muslim for mother and father. The maqam of parenthood and the maqam of mother and father, it deserves respect whether they are Muslim or whether they are non-Muslim. Now imagine those parents that are nafarman. Oh, my mother has TV in her home. I'm never going to listen to my mother. My mother has a television in the home. Subhanallah. Nabi Kareem SAW even told the Sahaba whose parents were non-Muslims that you should make khidmat of your mother and father even though they are non-Muslims. Now imagine if a parents are involved in something or they're not perfect. Nobody's perfect. And then you're making that an excuse that, oh, my mother doesn't pray five times namaz. My father doesn't have a beard. My mother doesn't pray five times a namaz. I'm not going to listen to them. They're not following Sharia, so I don't need to listen and obey them. This is jahalat. This is ignorance. This is ignorance of the haqq of mother and father. In this day and age, the condition has become such that people are killing their own parents. Killing their own parents. There is no sin which can be greater than this. Slowly, slowly, the Muslim ummah is going in that direction also. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, لَتَتَّبِعُنَّ سُنَنَ مَنْ قَبْلَكُمْ هَذْوَ النَّعْلِ بِالنَّعْلِ. That you will follow the sunnah and you will follow the ways of the people before you, step by step. And even if they were to go inside, like a lizard, when it goes inside the hole, or like a snake, it goes inside the hole, then you will also go inside of that hole. The Muslim ummah is also going in the nafarmani of parents, disrespect of parents, talking bad to parents, giving an attitude to the parents, just like the kuffar are doing now. But we should consider every amal that we do. It mentioned about one of the awliya. His mother asked him to bring, I believe it was Bayazid Bustami rahmatullahi, Fudail ibn Iyaz, one of the akabir awliya, one of the buzurgani deen. His mother, he was young. His mother asked him that, oh so and so, bring me a cup of water. He went and he brought a cup of water and he was standing. His mother had fallen asleep. His mother had fallen asleep. He was standing there with the water. He did not want to wake her and he did not want to cause any taklif to her. So he's standing with the water in the cold night. In the middle of the night, just before Fajr namaz, she woke up and she seen that her son is standing there with a glass of water. He said, oh my son, what are you doing? How long have you been standing there? He said, from the time that you told me to bring the water, I've been standing here. He said, why didn't you wake me up? He said, I didn't want to cause you taklif. She lifted her hands and tears started to be shedding from her eyes and she made dua. So may Allah Ta'ala give you the maqam. That wali, he became the greatest wali of his time. He became the greatest buzurg of that time. Not through his tahajjud, not through his zikr, not through any nafli ibadat, through the du'as of his mother and father. Uwais al-Qarni, he was a tabi'i. He lived in the time of Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. He sent a letter to the Prophet. He said, Ya Rasulullah, should I come in your khidmat? I have great desire to come and see you. I have great desire to come and see you. I have great desire to come in your khidmat. Uwais al-Qarni lived in the time of the Prophet. He was in Yemen, from the tribe of Qarn. Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam wrote him back. He said, I have a mother, she's very ill. Should I come and meet you and see you, or should I stay with my mother? He said, never ever come and see me. Stay with your mother and serve your mother and make khidmat of your mother. This is will be better for you. The entire life. Imagine if Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is alive in your time and you have the opportunity to see him. And he says, don't come to see me. How much pain will you feel inside of your heart? How much will you have the desire and zeal? Uwais al-Qarni said, Ya Rasulullah, sami'na wa ata'na. We hear and we obey. He stayed and he made khidmat of his mother, and his mother passed away. And then Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam also passed away. And Uwais al-Qarni never ever got the opportunity to even see Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, even though he lived in the same time as the Prophet. What maqam did Allah give him? Do we know what is the maqam that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave Uwais al-Qarni? A person who, he was not a sahabi, and he did not see the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He had correspondence with the Prophet. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam told Hazrat Abu Bakr and Umar, who are the greatest men after the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, is Abu Bakr and Umar. Siddiq and Farooq, they were told that, oh Siddiq, oh Farooq, go and ask dua e maghfirat from Uwais al-Qarni, because whatever dua he makes, Allah will accept his dua. Whatever dua he makes, Allah Ta'ala will accept the dua of Uwais al-Qarni. Why? Not because he had sohbat of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Not because he has some extra nafli ibadat. Why? Because he held himself and he withheld himself to make the khidmat of his mother. He served his mother. Respected brothers and elders, the greatest ibadat is that ibadat which is hardest upon the nafs. Do you want to know which ibadat has the most ajr? That ibadat has the most ajr, which is hardest upon the nafs. So you be the judge. When you see that some ibadat is very difficult, one of the awliya mentioned like that. He said, I will look at myself, I say, which one is most difficult for me? My nafs doesn't want to fast on Monday and Thursday, I make it fast on Monday and Thursday. That is the ibadat that you get most ajr in. Because it is hardest upon the nafs. And this is why the ajr of looking after the parents is most ajr. Because it's very difficult to look after the mother and father. Because you grew up with them. You become very accustomed to them. You become very familiar with them. You become very cool with them sometimes. It becomes difficult to just guard your tongue and swallow your pride and swallow your tongue. It becomes difficult because it's so normal. You become, this is my mom, this is my dad. I always talk like this to them. This is why it becomes so difficult. And this is why the ajr of serving the mother and father is most. Brothers and sisters, there's many sins. We're talking about positive dhikr and negative dhikr. To guard ourselves. Negative dhikr is what? Habsun nafs. One is fi'lul ma'murat and one is tarkul manhiyat. There's two types of actions. One of the actions of fi'l, one of the actions of tark. The actions of fi'l, everybody knows about, but the actions of tark, staying away from, which we call negative dhikr. This is that dhikr which many people are ghafil about. There's many things that I could speak about, but specifically, and this message of mine goes not to, I mean, everybody has parents. Everybody has been a parent. Everybody has parents, so everybody is, you're either a parent or you have a parent. And even if your parents have passed away, there's still duties that you have upon them to make dua for them. One of the awliya mentioned that, what is Sufyan Thawri rahmatullahi alayhi said? He said that, how can we be dutiful to our parents if they've passed away? He said to make this dua, رَبِّ ارْحَمْهُمَا كَمَا رَبَّيَانِي صَغِيرًا. The one who reads after every namaz, this dua, رَبِّ ارْحَمْهُمَا كَمَا رَبَّيَانِي صَغِيرًا. Oh Allah, have mercy upon my parents, just as they had mercy upon me, even after they have passed away. This person will be considered بَارٌ لِوَالِدَيْهِ. He will be considered a person who was dutiful to his parents. He will be considered نَيْكْ أَوْلَاد. The one who reads after every namaz, رَبِّ ارْحَمْهُمَا كَمَا رَبَّيَانِي صَغِيرًا. Everybody should learn this dua. And in their namaz, after every 5 daily namaz, we should make dua for our parents. That, oh Allah, have mercy on them, just as they had mercy upon us when we were young. In the tafsir of this ayat, وَقُرْ رَبِّ ارْحَمْهُمَا كَمَا رَبَّيَانِي صَغِيرًا. Surah Al-Isra, I think it is. وَقُرْ رَبِّ ارْحَمْهُمَا كَمَا رَبَّيَانِي صَغِيرًا. Allah is teaching us this dua. وَقُلْ. Say this. Allah is commanding us, teaching us this dua. وَقُرْ رَبِّ ارْحَمْهُمَا كَمَا رَبَّيَانِي صَغِيرًا. And oh Allah, have mercy on them, just as they raised us when we were young. The one who reads, Sufyan Thawri rahmatullahi alayhi said, the one who reads this dua after every namaz, he will be considered بَارٌ لِوَالِدَيْهِ. He will be considered a person who is dutiful to, this, to their parents. But that doesn't mean you read this dua after every namaz and then you do their nafarmani and you don't listen to them. So I'm dutiful to my parents. رَبُّ رَحَمُّ مَا كَمَا رَبَّيَا زَيْهِ. Oh Abdullah, oh, I don't want to listen to you. Why are you calling me right now? So you're not, you, that you read the dua and at the same time then you make nafarmani of the parents. This is not correct. There was one halaqa that one of our teachers, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give him a long life and may Allah allow us to benefit from him. He said that, I wanted to speak about many subjects, but I chose to speak about the matter of serving the parents. He said, one of the people that had put the, you know, the gathering and the bayan together, they told me, what are you going to speak about? We want to give you, you know, talk about Imam Ghazali or talk about, you know, this, the tariqh of Islam and this and that. So he said, I know what to talk about. So he spoke about the subject of serving mother, serving of parents. He mentioned that after that bayan, there were people from that masjid. They said that there were some people that had come from New York to come and listen to that bayan. And they had left their mother there in the hospital with nobody even turn her from side to side, other than the nurses that were there. He had left his mother there in the hospital and he had come to Tennessee for that lecture. And after he heard that lecture, first bayan, there was, he didn't even need to hear any other lecture. He had a series of lectures. The first lecture, he took the ticket, one-way ticket back to New York. And then he wrote a letter back to the Shaykh from New York and he said, Shaykh, Jazakallah khair. He said, I understood that the greatest ibadat and the greatest khidmat that I could do is respecting her. I have left my mother there in the hospital with nobody to look after her. How can I do such a thing? He says, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give you jazai khair. He said that my whole life has become changed from understanding now the importance of mother and father. There is no ibadat which is greater than the serving of the mother and father. Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam mentions also in one hadith, he says to one companion, he said that your mother and father is your two doors to Jannah. Your mother and your father, you have two doors to Jannah. He said, but oh Rasulullah, my mother has passed away. He said, then you have one door, don't waste that door. You have one door left, don't waste that door. Take benefit from that door. Allah Ta'ala has made them our gateway to paradise. May Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala give us the opportunity that we may serve them. This is a very great bounty for us that Allah Ta'ala has given us, that we serve our parents, we look after them, we make them happy. We get their du'as, because through the du'as of parents, there is no difficulty and there is no hardship that will be removed through the du'as of parents. Every difficulty and every hardship will be removed. Why? Because one of the du'as which will not be rejected in the court of Allah is du'a ul-walidi li-waladihi, is the du'a of the parent for his child. Du'a ul-walidi li-waladihi, the du'a of the parent for the child. This is not mardood. This du'a will never be rejected. We should try and get their du'as. We should try and make their khidmat. And this is that dhikri manfi. There's so many things that I wanted to speak about. But this is the thing that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala brought in my heart because of necessity of it. It's very difficult for us. And it's very hard for us as young people, as old people. Sometimes parents come, and you know, they become in such a situation, they get in such a state of mind when they become old, that it becomes great mujahada to serve them. One story, and I'll end with this, that our Shaykh told us. He said that there was a man, when his son was young, his son had asked his father, he said, oh daddy, what's on the tree? He said, my son, that's a crow. Then he said, oh daddy, what's on the tree? He said, my son, that's a crow. He said, oh daddy, what's on the tree? He said, it's a crow. What's on the tree? It's a crow. He took note of it, that more than 20 times or 30 times the son asked, daddy, what's on the tree? And the father said nothing. He said, my son, with muhabbat, with love, said, it's a crow. It's a bird on the tree. And the father noted it down in his diary that 30 times he mentioned, my son, on this day, when he was 3 years old, 4 years old, he mentioned that what is on the tree? 30 times. And I answered that it was a crow without any hatred. Every moment that he was saying, I was enjoying. When the father became very old, he wanted to put his son through test. So same situation came about. His father was in the wheelchair, and his son was, mashallah, jawan. His father was very old, senior. So he just told his son, my son, what's in the tree? He said, it's a crow. Then again he said, my son, what's in the tree? He said, I told you one time, father, it's a crow. He said, my son, what's in the tree? He said, how many times am I going to tell you that it's a crow? What, are you deaf or something? What's the matter with you? You don't hear? Turn up your hearing aid, for God's sake, or something, man. Turn up your hearing aid. You can't hear what's happening here? He told the khadim, khadim, bring the kitab. Bring my diary. Bring my diary. He said, unalaik, look in this kitab now. Look in the kitab. That when you were 3, 4 years old, when you were young, 30 times you asked me what is in the tree, and I answered you without any hesitation. Every moment I was enjoying it. But now that I have become old, I ask you 3 times and you're yelling at me and you're raising your voice at me. Sharam karo bihaya. Have some shame. Subhanallah. This is, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala not make this our condition. We should remind ourselves, how did our parents go through? This is the way that we can pay them back. We should make dua, oh Allah, give our parents so long life that I'll have the opportunity to look after them just as they looked after me. Somebody told me, his father had become very old. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala save us. He became old. He was not able to hold his bodily fluids. So he was wearing, you know, the diapers. He could not hold his bodily fluids. So the person told me straight, I said, you should be doing this. You should be cleaning. He said, I can't, I just can't do it. It's just something that I can't do. And he's hiring ghayr mahram women to clean his father. Hiring ghayr mahram women to clean his father, the private parts of his father. I said, I know how difficult this is for you. But remember that day when your father was cleaning you. Remember that day when your mother and father were cleaning you and cleaning your backside and looking after you and washing you. Remember that day. They did not say that, I'm going to take this child and throw it away. I don't have the ability to, the smell is so bad, get him away from me. This child is smelling, get him away from me. They took that responsibility. With love and muhabbat, they cleaned you. You should look forward to that opportunity that the day comes. The Ya Allah, give me the opportunity that I make the greatest jihad. This is the greatest mujahada. This is the greatest effort that we can make, is make mujahada of our nafs to serve our parents. May Allah Ta'ala give us the tawfiq. May Allah Ta'ala give us the strength. May Allah Ta'ala give us the courage. May Allah Ta'ala save us from the waswasa of shaitan, telling us that just put them in a home, they look after them better. May Allah never bring that day that we take our parents and we put them inside of the home. May Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala make our home that home in which the old person is being taken care of. In that home, that home is a very mubarak home. That home is a blessed home. That home, the mercy and the rahmat of Allah is being showered on that home. And that home which is deprived of these old people being taken care of, that home is deprived. May Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala give us the ability. May Allah enable us to give us the understanding. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin. Subhanallah wa bihamdihi. Subhanakallah wa bihamdika. Nashhadu an la ilaha illa anta nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk. We make dua for brothers, grandmother who has passed away in Karachi. Allahumma ighfir laha warhamha wa afiha wa afu anha wa akrim nuzulaha wa wasi' mudkhalaha wa ghsilha bil ma'i wal thalji wal barad wa naqqiha min adh-dhunubi wal khataaya kama yunqqa ath-thawb al-abyad min ad-danas. اللهم اغفر لحينا وميتنا وشاهدنا وغائبنا وصغيرنا وكبيرنا وذكرنا وانثانا. اللهم من احييته منا فاحيه على الاسلام ومن توفيته منا فتوفه على الايمان. ربنا تقبل منا انك انت السميع العليم وتب علينا انك انت التواب الرحيم. صلى الله تعالى على خير خلقه محمد وعلى اله وصحبه اجمعين. سبحان ربك رب العزه عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين.
Brothers from the audience or sisters downstairs, if they have any questions, inshallah, they are welcome to ask Maulana Tamim Saab.
Your Mufti is here, so I won't answer any fiqhi questions. Mufti Saab, is any questions that might have to do with the subject that was spoken about, inshallah? Anything that was spoken about? Any questions about that? We're open.
But with the displeasure of mother, that what happened with himself as well. such importance of Allah. In
that
obedience of
Allah. Prophet is alive. Ultimate Nabi is alive. He could not help him.
It mentions, the question is, does your age change when you die? I don't know if I've understood this question properly. It mentions that when the people will be entering Jannah, they'll be entering Abna'u Thalathina wa Thalathun wa Thalathin. That when we enter Jannah, when we are resurrected by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala after death, we are not going to be resurrected as the age that we died. Like Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, one woman came to Rasulullah SAW, said, "Ya Rasulullah, will I enter into Jannah? Will an old woman like me enter Jannah?" So Nabi SAW said, "No, old women won't enter Jannah." So she started crying. So crying that old woman will not enter Jannah. He said, "No, old woman will not enter Jannah. You will be made young. You will enter Jannah like a very young woman. You're not going to enter Jannah in this old condition." So I think what it means is, does your age change when you die? Yes, you will not be entering into Jannah in the old age that you are. When Allah Ta'ala resurrects on the Day of Judgment, we'll get, and this is, يعني فيه إشارة إلى كمال الشباب. The 30 to 33 is the age when there's كمال الشباب, it's the قوة جواني, is in that age. Age of Isa alayhi salam, 30 to 33.
Resurrected at the Nafkatu Saniya, the same age they will die. And after the accountability, those who go to hellfire, they will go in the age they die. But those who will go to enter paradise by the grace of Allah, they will be made young.
SubhanAllah. Also, one thing Dr. Saab mentioned, very important point, that the people that will be entered into hellfire, they will be actually given very strong, sturdy, powerful bodies. To such an extent that they say the daras, or the adras, the molar tooth of a Jahannami will be so big that it will be as big as the mountain of Uhud. Why? So that more punishment can be meted out to him. Because a child, if you take a child like a 2-year-old and you just flick it like this, he starts crying. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make their body so huge so that he can mete out more. Narullahil muqadah. Allah Ta'ala mentions about His fire, this is not any fire, this is the fire of Allah. Allah has made nisbat, mudaf ilayh, narullah, al-muqada. This is the fire which has been actually ignited by Allah Ta'ala Himself. May Allah save us. Jazakumullah khairan. Barakallah feekum.
Inshallah, brother, the ladies Jamaat here in our locality, and there is going to be a second program starting from 2:45 till 4:30, inshallah.